Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Sometimes telling the truth, it can be hard because we want to shine grace, but sometimes truth just hits us in the face. And we're talking with Ashley Abercrombie today on SOS Radio. She knows what telling the truth is all about, what sharing a story is all about. She knows the power of that. She currently serves with Liberty Church in downtown New York City over Manhattan and just wrote a new book called Rise of the Truth Teller. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So what is being a truth teller all about? We live in this world where we want to shine grace, and a lot of times we're tempted to lean more into grace and then not really shine the truth as much because we want people to hear the message over the meaning. But Jesus kind of modeled 100%, 100%, right? He did both at the same time.
Yeah. He did. That's so true. Well, you know, I was actually born and raised in the Southeast in North Carolina. And I loved that upbringing. And one of the things that I learned very early on is to tell the truth. We had sort of a fundamental moral code, even if you were Christian or not Christian, that you don't lie, you tell the truth. But unfortunately, what we really meant by being a truth teller is that we meant telling the truth about other people. And so the journey for me has really been about telling the truth about myself and my own life and taking off my mask and stopping all the pretending and performing and learning how to walk in integrity. And I think sometimes we're trying to tell the truth about everyone and everything instead of actually owning our own story, owning our own brokenness, owning our own stuff. And so we stop pointing the finger at others when we realize that we ourselves have issues, problems, and pain, just like everybody else on the planet. And so for me, part of writing this book was wanting to help people own their story and be able to tell it like it is. You know, do exactly what you just said. You share the truth, but you do it kindly and you do it candidly. And that's really important to the process. And then becoming this person who can live with gumption. Living with gumption is really rooted in having integrity. Otherwise, you're just kind of firing on all cylinders with no real direction and no real clarity.
We're talking about owning our story, telling it like it is, and living with holy gumption today with Ashley Abercrombie on SOS Radio. And you have a new book. It's called Rise of the Truth Teller. I mean, it's really personal. It's really vulnerable. And you openly share a lot of things that happened to you because God's taken your story and used that to connect with other people because there's truth in it.
Yes, it's beautiful because we get raised in these different areas. And you can't choose where you're born, but one thing I loved about being raised in a small town is that we all knew each other. It was very neighborly. We were richly, richly connected. And I knew everyone and everyone knew me. Unfortunately, I did learn to wear a mask and to hide all my pain and to hide all my fears and to hide all my insecurities. So even though everyone knew me, nobody really knew me at all. And so I think the journey for me has been entering into addiction, trying to cope with that. How do I stop pretending? How do I stop performing? And so growing in addiction to alcohol and drugs and eating disorders and having a series of mistakes happen in my life and learning to kind of heal from that and grow from that. But it started with being honest about my story and honest about my life. And that's really, I think, what pushes us forward to own the things that have happened to us. And some of those things are my own mistakes, having an abortion when I was very young, and some of those things being sexually assaulted, not my fault, not my problem, but at the same time, it was my problem because somebody made that choice to do that against me. So I had to go through the healing process, the forgiveness process, so that I would be able to move forward in my life and in my faith.
So Ashley, what do you suggest for those who have been through similar situations and have been afraid to tell the truth about that, have been afraid to own that? You know, they want to have healing, but they're like, I don't want to be judged. I don't want people to think differently of me. I want people to know the good things.
Well, we all have the ideal image that we want to uphold, but I think we have to become people who value integrity over image.
Yeah.
And while being vulnerable is very scary and sometimes comes at a very painful cost, maybe it costs your reputation, maybe it costs you a job, maybe it costs a relationship, but I don't think that you can put a price on freedom. And so that journey towards integrity helps us really grow and understand that freedom is worth whatever the cost is. And so I think finding safe people that you can communicate and talk to, people that you can open up with. And if you don't have those people in your life, because that was certainly my story, I didn't know who I could open up to. I had a lot of people that loved me, but I didn't know how to honestly share with them.
Ooh, yeah.
I recommend things like therapy or recovery groups, support groups. You know, I read books. I began to open up to people who, you know, I really trusted, that loved me, that could suspend judgment. I could identify in them that they weren't judging me. I felt very safe with them. I felt very understood. I felt like they would love me no matter what I said to them and no matter what parts of me I revealed. And I think we all have to journey towards finding those people. And they may not be the people who are currently in your life. And that can feel very hard and disorienting. And sometimes that process leaves us isolated and lonely. But we have to do it. It's a really important part of our process.
In our culture, it seems like we're experts at hiding from each other. I'm Scott Harrell at SWS Radio. We're talking with author Ashley Abercrombie today on SWS Radio. When we withhold truth, we pretend we're okay, we end up performing at a great personal cost. You know, I think it's a lie sometimes when people say, hey, how are you? And you're just like, oh, I'm fine. It's like, yeah, I'm good. But we lie. Why don't we just say how things are?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's the basics, right? Like if you're at work and somebody asks how you are, I mean, there could be a real issue if you decide to fall apart in your cubicle. I mean, maybe that's appropriate in some cases and other times maybe not so much. But I do think that most of us are just trying to survive. I actually don't think there's a lot of malice behind it or any reasoning behind it. But when you've got a lot going on at home and somebody says, how are you? I mean, how do you even answer that question when you have very real issues, very real pain, or perhaps just lost a loved one, or maybe have a secret addiction nobody knows about, or perhaps your marriage is falling apart, or you're struggling with your kids. I mean, how do you even unpack that to someone? And what does somebody mean when they're asking you, how are you? So that's why I think it's important for us to cultivate those safe spaces where we have great friendships and great connection with others that's meaningful and reciprocal, so that when they ask us the question, how are you, we can actually allow ourselves the space to say what's really true. And that keeps us from feeling so isolated, and it keeps us from feeling so alone. And if you're out there listening and you have this experience where you feel like, I'm the only one who has these problems, I'm the only one who is going through this, I'm the only one who's suffering this way, I want to tell you, no, you're not. Every human on the planet has something that they're dealing with. None of us are exempt from issues, problems, and pain. You are not alone in your struggle.
We're talking about how we can actually be truth tellers today with Ashley Abercrombie on SWS Radio. What can we do, Ashley, to avoid that trap of performing and pretending for people who really have no intention of ever giving us their approval? I mean, you know, risking it all for the accolades from people we don't even know.
Totally. And we're all so guilty of this, right? I mean, I don't know a person on the planet that doesn't feel like they have to impress someone somehow, some way. Pretending and performing is not a personality type. It's not like, you know, certain people who are set on achievements or accolades are the people who please and perform. We all do it to some degree. And so I think this journey is really about understanding where our value and significance comes from. And so if we put all of our significance on how many Instagram likes we get, or maybe a father figure in our life who has never approved of us and is likely never going to approve of us, no matter how many great things we do, no matter how many achievements we have, you know, they're not going to approve of us. And so we have to really let go of our significance coming from people who are outside of us. So we have to let go of people who have not been honoring of us in the past. And we think somehow they're going to fundamentally change and be honoring. And sometimes that does happen, right? But we can't bet our whole life on that. And so part of not pretending and performing is understanding that we are significant just because we exist, that we have value because we are made in the image of God. And we do not need another person or a thing or a job title or a role or some type of network or relationship to fundamentally give us value. We have value because we are made, because we exist, period. And so we have to journey out of that idea that our value comes from everything else. Now, can our relationships or our career or our calling certainly inform and affirm our value? Absolutely. But they aren't the thing that our value is contingent on.
Ashley, how do you see that playing out when we have teenage daughters and they're in this world and it's all about comparison? And it's all about what you wear. And it's all about what you project about yourself on social media and the cliquey friendships where one girl is trying to push somebody else down to make herself look better. When we're trying to speak this truth to our kids, saying, you know what? God created you this way. God likes you this way. He's created you in His image. I mean, we say that to our daughters and they know the words are there, but what do you think is blocking that from really getting into their hearts and owning it?
Well, I don't have teenage daughters, so that's helpful to know. But what I do know about sisterhood is that when women and young women are around other women who are not competing against each other, who are not catty, who are not exemplifying that a woman's value is in what she wears or what kind of shoes she has, or, you know, if she's up on seasonal trends or if she's nice, but if they are around other women and other communities of sisters and other men who also affirm this, where there is not competition, where jealousy is not the center of the show, where what you look like is not the highest value, then women will begin to easily replicate that. And so digital media is not going away. Like, it's here and it's here to stay. I fully believe it's going to be like smoking on airplanes, where we're like, wow, do you remember how much you could hold your iPhone in a day and how terrible that was for you and your brain? Like, I think we'll eventually get there where we realize this is not good for us. But at the same time, I actually think young women need examples of that. So if they are being raised in communities of women where there is a lot of jealousy and there is a lot of backbiting or there is a lot of competition or women only get affirmed for what they look like, then they're going to repeat that in their life. So my husband and I, in our life, we try to give compliments not based on looks, but gosh, you're so intelligent. Wow, I love the way that you did this or that. It was so thoughtful of you. You know, just thinking of ways that we can compliment the women in our world that are not contingent on what they look like and just foster the idea of sisterhood, that we're accepted where we are and we don't have to be perfect to be here. And I think that really helps women see that it's possible.
There's a huge difference between being physically tired and being soul tired. Like, we're talking about weariness. Ashley Abercrombie today at SWS Radio. Ashley, you have a new book. It's called The Rise of the Truth Teller. What have you learned about taking time out of your schedule to rest? You know, when you come to this place where it just feels like it's so tough to slow down because everything keeps coming. It's like, I'm stopping, but the world's not.
So this really hit me like a pile of bricks when my life and my marriage was like, man, if we don't slow down, we're going to break. And I remember working days and nights, 12-hour shifts for like 2 weeks in a row. And my husband and I were not very combative in our marriage. Like, we're able to have really hard conversations. We have pretty good communication tools and resources. But there was this one night where my husband's like, that's it. You've worked every single night till like midnight. Like, this is it. I'm done with this. Like, we need to talk about it. And we had, you know, very heated fellowship.
Yeah.
And I really realized something has to change. Something has to shift in my life because the way that I'm driving myself into a ground is not healthy. And I also realized that my relationships were suffering and that the people that were the closest to me didn't see me as much as they should. And I was giving my life to everything else except for the people who mattered most. And so we went on this great journey of studying the Sabbath. And we realized, man, the only other thing you could be stoned for, aside from adultery in the Old Testament, was not taking a Sabbath. So we're like, wow, this is a really important thing to God. And of course, in the New Testament, we see Jesus talking about rest again and again. It's a gift that he gives to believers is rest. And so we began to study this and really unpack it and understand it. And we began to take a weekly Sabbath, 24 hours every single week, where we could set aside time to do only the things that we enjoyed. I put my email off my phone for that 24 hours. I made sure that I was not easily accessible because none of us are a CVS. We are not created to be open 24 hours, 7 days a week. That is not who we're supposed to be. And so as we began to practice that, we learned two things. One is that we're not the glue of the universe. The whole world does not fall apart because we take a rest. And two, we began to learn that we are not God in our own lives, because when you take a Sabbath, you start to realize that God is in control and that we can trust him and that he's able to do more in our rest than he was ever able to do through our striving.
Wow.
And so for us, rest became a rhythm in our life and an important part of how we live so that we could experience more of God. And I also think when we don't take a rest, we become a human doing instead of a human being. And it becomes very easy for us to live like a machine and then therefore treat people in our lives like a machine. And we become this incredible driver and we hurt others and we hurt ourselves. And we did not want to live that kind of empty existence, to be frank. It was just empty. Where was it taking us? Nowhere. We wanted to get out of that and get out of it quick.
When we're growing in our faith, sometimes we feel like there's a war going on all around us. I'm Scott Harold on SWS Radio. We're talking with Ashley Abercrombie today. She has a new book. It's called The Rise of the Truth Teller. And Ashley, when you became a pastor in Manhattan, in your book, you talk about, like, I feel like I entered into a spiritual civil war. What was that like?
It was really, really difficult. I mean, we entered into New York in June of 2016. So as everyone will remember, that time and season was quite volatile just because the election season pushed on a lot of hot buttons and triggers, and it raised up issues that had been lying dormant forever, whether it was rural poverty in America or it was racism or sexism. All these issues began to surface and everybody was dividing into camps. I like this candidate. I like that candidate. God likes this candidate. God likes that candidate. And it was just a very strange time for us to be pastoring people across such great polarization. And not necessarily that that has gotten better, but what the Lord did teach me is to love all people. I think that when I was living in Los Angeles and then made the move to New York, I realized that I had been kind of in an echo chamber where most people in my life who were close to me thought the same way that I did. I prided myself on quite a diverse existence. And in many ways, I do have that. But coming to New York gave me a whole new revelation of what it means to live in diversity and to love people who are not like you and to love people who don't think like you. And so for me, it was a great lesson in how do we all stop going into camps and learn to value each other as people made in the image of God.
Yeah, so what is the key? Because we're about to enter into that again next year, and you think about, like, okay, there are people that care about Jesus, but their belief systems when it comes to the issues that we see in front of us and the social problems that we see in front of us and the way that God loves people and the way that God can step into these problems in regard to faith, they just don't connect sometimes, and we tend to divide. What have you learned about breaking that all down so we can still love those people even when we disagree with those people?
Well, I think part of it is sort of doing our own internal management. I remember my beautiful friend who was my mentor for a long time and then became a dear friend of mine. Her name is Dr. Mary Glenn, and she's a professor at Fuller Institute in California. And one of the things she said to me when I first moved to New York, it actually called her in tears, like, I cannot do this. Like, this is not going to work. I don't know what's up with Manhattan, but I don't think I'm cut for it. And she just said to me, Ashley, whenever I'm standing with someone who I don't agree with, whether it's online or it's in person, on a phone call, in a work meeting, she said, when I don't agree with them and I think what is coming out of their mouth is utterly insane, I think to myself, this person is made in the image of God, and therefore they are the beloved of Christ. And this is my sister, this is my brother. And so I began to really have a new posture before people, where I had to stop myself from villainizing, and I had to stop myself from making everyone an enemy, and I had to begin to see people as made in the image of God. Father Greg Boyle, who started Homeboy Industries in LA that helps people who were formerly incarcerated, and they do tattoo removals, and they start businesses, and they do all these phenomenal things, and he said, God only has children. God does not have enemies. And so to think about people as made in the image of God, and even though we may not agree on an issue, this person is still made in the image of God. So that informs how I speak to them on social media. That informs how I talk about them in real life. That informs how I speak to them when I'm standing in front of them. And I think we've gained this ridiculous courage to say all kinds of horse poo on the internet when we would never really say it in real life. We act like we're raised in a barn, and we have to really stop doing that. So I think as we move into 2020, we have to be conscious of the fact that fighting online is really not helpful. And we have to be conscious of the fact that even though we disagree, there's ways to have productive conversation that doesn't result in fighting or being polarized. We have to actually talk about context, why we believe what we believe, where we come from, what has shaped us, what has raised us. And then when we begin to think about it in those terms, we can begin to have a level of understanding and empathy for each other that actually fosters relationship instead of isolation. And that's very important as we move into 2020. Please stay saved, everyone. Stop being crazy.
That's awesome. If you're tired of smiling on the outside while you just feel broken and battered on the inside, I'll tell you what, Ashley Abercrombie has a message for you, and she's hanging out with us today on SOS Radio. We're talking about how it's okay to tell the truth about yourself and what you've been through. And Ashley, you have a new book. It's called The Rise of the Truth Teller. Own your story, tell it like it is, and live with holy gumption. Now, Ashley, to you, what is holy gumption?
So holy gumption is discovering the unique calling that is on the inside of you. And so sometimes calling can feel like this massive broad stroke, like, great, I have a calling. There's no way to determine what it is. Or perhaps you're at home with your little ones and you're like, what does this have to do with calling? I'm drowning in toddlers. Or maybe your marriage is going to struggle. Or perhaps you're a student in a university, or maybe you're an empty nester or been widowed. How do you figure out what does holy gumption look like in the season that's right in front of me? And I actually think that is what is so powerful, because every day we wake up and we do our life and we interface with the same people over and over and over again. And this idea of holy gumption is discovering that you are unique, that you bring something to the table that nobody has ever brought to the table or will ever bring to the table. You yourself as a person, you showing up in your own life, you interacting with people in a meaningful way, you being present for those that are around you, is us living our life with holy gumption. So it's not this big thing that's out there, but it's this thing that we can activate in our real life right now. And it's important that we understand that when we show up, it matters, and that nobody can do what we were created to do.
Sharing our faith has so many facets to go into it. I'm Scott on SOS Radio, and we all know that Jesus calls us to share our faith and take the message of Jesus, the gospel, the hope of Jesus, to the ends of the earth and love our neighbors as ourselves. But a lot of times when you think about evangelism, and it's this churchy word where it's like, okay, I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus. Some people think about it as converting others, but we're talking with Ashley Abercrombie on SOS Radio, and you wrote a book called The Rise of the Truth Teller. Essentially, it's about telling our story and owning our story. And I think a lot of times when we think about ideals of evangelism and missions, we're thinking like, okay, how do I convince someone about my faith? But really, this is about telling our story that this is who I was, and then God stepped in. Here's what happened.
Yes, I love what you're saying, because I think story is such a powerful piece of evangelism. And evangelism, in my opinion, is always rooted in relationship. And so I think sometimes when we have the goal of converting someone, we actually set ourselves as superior over them. Like, I have something you need. My thoughts are better than your thoughts. My faith is better than yours. And my beliefs are better than yours. And I don't think it's easy for people to receive that because they have something to give us as well. So reciprocity is actually a much better tool in evangelism through relationship. I can remember when I was struggling with eating disorders and my addiction to alcohol and drug abuse. And when I moved to California, I met these incredible believers. And the truth is, they never even invited me to church. I didn't even know they were believers for just a little bit of time. We knew each other for about 6 months before I figured out that they were believers. But they would come out with me at nighttime and I would party, do drugs, dance all night long. They would drive me home. They would drink Diet Cokes and just had this beautiful connection to me that far superseded their desire for me to be converted. They just loved me because I was a person made in the image of God. And what happened is I ended up asking them, oh my gosh, you guys are believers. Can I come to church with you? Like, I have never met Christians who have loved me this way. I've never met Christians who are not judgmental, who aren't calling me names, who aren't telling me to just like quit all my issues and get on with the bandwagon. Like, you're the first people who have really loved me. And so I went to church with them and actually did end up giving my life back to Christ. And what inspired me was speaker that day told her story about her dysfunctional relationships and the sexual abuse in her past. And I just saw myself in her. And I thought, God, if you can do that in her life and she can stand so boldly and share her story, you can do that in mine. And so for me, evangelism has always looked like relationship. It looks like earning trust. It looks like earning the right to speak. It looks like showing up for people so that they can know that your faith is for real before you just start blasting it out. You know, and I think it's important to know that sometimes there are seasons, right? Or there's a specific divine moment where God will open up a door for you to share your faith and it makes sense and it's just right. But I think so often Christians are walking around with a megaphone, and Jesus's methods so often included relationship. He showed people who he was. He walked in love. He walked in the goodness and grace of God, and people were attracted to that. And I think we need more of that in the world we're living in today.
Well, we're talking about The Rise of the Truth Teller, and it's the latest book from Ashley Abercrombie at SOS Radio. It's about owning your story, telling it like it is, and living with holy gumption. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Ashley.
It's been my honor and privilege. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.